From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 25th day of November 2013. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll hear from Bob Dineen at the Renewable Fuels Association about ethanol. Chad Hart from Iowa will be here, too, to take a look at the export market and ethanol. And he also has some numbers for the average cash price for the year. Along the way, we'll get an update of what's been happening in the agricultural weather with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City, and the folks out at the Andersons from right here in Champaign County will take us through the agricultural cash grain market on this Monday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. It comes to you from Illinois Public Media, willag.org, at the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by Justin Wood, Paul Stevens, Tim Smith, Scott Harms, and Mark Soderberg of Archer Financial Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm. You can learn more about the services they offer at 800-637-3123.
Well, let's check the numbers as they finished up in Chicago. For this Monday afternoon, futures in the soft red winter wheat pit December contract at $6.52 and a half, up three. The March at $6.59 and a quarter, two and a quarter higher in July soft red at $6.61 and a half, 2.5 cents higher. The hard red July at $6.93. That finished up 2 3/4. December corn futures on the day at $4.24 and 3/4, 2.5 cents higher. The March at $4.31 and a quarter, up two. And May futures $4.39 and a quarter, 2 cents higher. July contract $4.46 and a quarter, up 2 cents. And December futures $4.59 a penny and a quarter higher. January soybeans at $13.29 and a quarter, up 9 3/4. The March up 8 3/4 at $13.14 and 3/4. And May contract at $12.96. That finished 5.5 cents higher on the day. July futures in the bean pit at $12.88 and a quarter, up 4 1/4. And next year's November at $11.61 and a quarter. A loss posted there today, down 5 3/4. December bean meal at $4.37.20, up 9.40. And bean oil at $40.66. That's 50 cents lower on the afternoon. Live cattle futures in the December contract at $131.07 and a half, a settlement price down 40. February futures at $131.92 and a half, up 12 1/2. January feeder cattle $162.80, down 70. And the March contract at $162.80 per 100 pounds, down 57 1/2 cents. December lean hogs at $85.62 and a half, lower. February futures up 12 1/2 at $89.80. That the February contract, of course, in the lean hogs for 100 pounds. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It does come to you from Illinois Public Media and is a production of the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign. You can always find us online at our website. Our address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, January contract, $94.17 a barrel, 67 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline price at $2.68 and 4 tenths is down 4 1/10 of a cent. Ethanol futures trading at $1.95 and 4 tenths, 8 1/10 of a cent lower. The difference between the two, or the spread, is now 73 cents wide. That's 3 9/10 wider than it was yesterday, or on Friday afternoon, as the case may be. Natural gas, December contract, $3.79 and 7 tenths, up 2 9/10, and diesel fuel at $3.03 and 3 tenths of a cent is just about 7 tenths of a cent lower. Gold futures trading $1,241.20 an ounce, down $2.90 at its settlement price, and the U.S. dollar at 80.92 on the delay, 0.21 higher for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service for the Urbana-Champaign area. Today, we'll see an overcast sky with a high of about 33 degrees. This evening, a chance of flurries before midnight, mostly cloudy tonight. And then tomorrow, a chance of flurries afternoon, partly sunny with a high of 35 degrees. By the way, tonight we'll go to a low of 23. Tuesday, mostly cloudy and 17 degrees in the evening with a wind chill value of between 1 and 11. And then north-northwest winds at 14 to 18 miles an hour, gusting to 25. So it's going to be really chilly and cold by the time we get to Tuesday evening. Mostly sunny on Wednesday with a high of just 29. Blustery skies with a north-northwest wind at 14 to 20, gusting to 30. And partly cloudy with a low of 16 degrees on Wednesday evening. Thanksgiving, mostly sunny skies and 33. And on Thanksgiving evening, that's Thursday night, partly cloudy with a low of 21. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
Well, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is, the 25th day of November, 2013. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Pete Manhart is on the phone line. He's with Bates Commodities, stepping in for Kurt Kimmel, who's out of the office today. Thanks, Pete, for taking the time with us.
You're welcome. Always a pleasure.
And well, as we head into Thanksgiving, this is one of those times of year when things have a tendency to change over the holiday season. And the question is, will that be the case? And are we changing from what? A downward direction? A sideways direction? What direction, if we do change, will we change into?
That's the unknown. Today it was up, led by beans, especially late. Beans were down 10 early, closed up 8 to 9, and old crop, new crop was still down 5 or 6. And corn unchanged up 4.5, closed up 2. Wheat basically was down maybe a quarter to up 3 or 4. So are we really changing? Or this is a time of year we sometimes do before Thanksgiving and into the Christmas time, and then we get South America pushing it down when all that news comes in. So which way is it going to go? I wish I knew. I'd tell everybody where to get.
Well, let's talk a little bit about things that are in the fundamental supply. The export markets showed what this morning?
They were less than expected on beans, and we had beans down 10 as well. They were as expected in corn and wheat within the ranges. But for the year, we've exported a lot more than previous last year stuff, and we've actually got sales that are really great for both beans and corn on the books. The question is, what will happen to all those sales when South America starts shipping in February, March?
Yeah, that would be for soybeans. For corn, do you think that China will be in the marketplace in any type of real and fundamental way that would grab the market's attention for corn?
Well, they've been buying some, and they've bought more than in the past, so it's expected they're going to buy some more, but it's more the meal and the beans holding things up. And then wheat, our wheat is holding corn up also.
Why is that the case?
I think we're tighter supplied here than the rest of the world, and our quality is good compared to other places, and our exports are also good.
Let's talk about ethanol for just a little bit. The RFS mandates may change. Comment period is open. I think it may be a foregone conclusion that they will change to what USDA has proposed, depending on what the comment period looks like. But the question really is this. Even if the proposal goes into place, do you suppose that the economics of ethanol production at this point, and as you look forward, are good enough to maintain or increase the amount of ethanol or grind of corn for ethanol into the 2014 season? So that would be to say that the export market would pick up extra ethanol on the way out.
I think that we are going to maintain what we have, and if we can be the cheaper place for it, we'll export more. So that mandate, yeah, psychologically it's different, but that mandate was made 10 years ago. The amount kept going up the stair steps, and all this is doing is recognizing that with less fuel being used because of more efficient cars, we don't need as much ethanol, and they're lowering it down the mandate to what we actually can blend at 10%. Doesn't mean we will not make more, because if we're making money doing it, they're going to continue to grind it and ship it, export it.
Have you looked at the livestock market recently, and what do you see that's of interest?
Oh, I don't know what to think about the livestock market. Hogs back and forth, but mostly lower. Cattle have bounced up and then taken profit two or three times. I think the tightness of supply and the cattle are going to keep those up there. And then the hogs, depending on how quickly people start keeping some back, that might hold them up, because the hog price is very good at $56 to $67. The $67 now, the $56 to $58 maybe if we push more out there.
You think expansion will come, in the rate of 1% to 2%, 2% to 3%, and how quickly might that happen in the next, 5, 10 months?
I think it's 1% to 2%, and I think it's most of it's going to take after 10 months. Some of it started for now, but I think the majority will be after the 10 months.
Thank you so much.
Have a great one.
You too. Pete Manhart is with Bates Commodities. He's out of Normal, Illinois, and joins us here on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. Remember, you can always find us online. The address there is willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the pre-opening market report, the opening market report, to the closing market report and everything in between, including our Commodity Week program, which we will record early this week. The markets are open on Friday, but that is a university holiday and the one day of the year that Dave and I decide that we will not be in studio live. So Commodity Week will air during the closing market report on some of these radio stations. It will be posted to the website on Wednesday evening because that's when we will record. So we're hoping that you will find Commodity Week up on the websites, hear it on one of our radio stations. It's our weekly look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural markets.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Leonard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Hey, if you haven't checked out our WillAg market calendar yet, please do so on our website. That's over on the right-hand side of the page. We have meetings on December the 10th and the 11th. There's a way to get yourself registered for the Farm Doc meetings the week of the 16th as well. Now, Dave Dickey is here with all the agricultural news for the afternoon. As I'm sure many of you already know, the Environmental Protection Agency, US EPA, plans to take comments over a 60-day period regarding its mandatory cut proposal for ethanol and advanced biofuel production in the 2014 calendar year. If enacted, the corn-based ethanol mix for 2014 would be about 13 billion gallons. Ethanol has no bigger supporter than Renewable Fuels Association President and CEO Bob Dineen. Here's how he views the announcement and the comment period.
I think we're fighting this battle with the oil companies because they are frustrated that we have succeeded. We are now 10% of the barrel, and they need to stop this program now before cellulosic ethanol gets a foothold, before other advanced biofuels are commercialized, and suddenly they lose a third of the barrel. That's what this is about. It's just a typical fight over market share. That's why we're going to be working awfully hard during the comment period to make sure that EPA doesn't finalize a rule that is so far away from the statute and that is reflective of the current marketplace conditions. There is no farm bill in place today. There's no safety net. Farmers planted 93 million acres to corn in anticipation of a growing renewable fuels market, not a shrinking one. They're harvesting 14 billion bushels of corn in anticipation of that marketplace being there, not taken away by some weak-kneed bureaucrat at the OMB that is concerned about what the price of RINs is today. So farmers need to remind EPA why this program is so important. Farmers need to educate EPA on the economics of agriculture. And they have to stand up during this comment period and let the Environmental Protection Agency fully appreciate what they are doing to our nation's rural economy. I hope at the same time that consumers are letting EPA know that taking lower-priced renewable fuels out of the marketplace drives up the price at the pump. So in no way does this action by the agency make sense. And we'll have an opportunity in the comment period to change this. If at the end of the day, EPA ignores all that and finalizes something, it gets locked up in the courts for a while. And, you know, there will be issues. It will certainly delay the evolution of the industry. It will stall the advancement in advanced biofuels and cellulosic ethanol that you're seeing today. And that's a tragedy. I don't know how you avoid it unless Americans across this country, particularly farmers, stand up and say, no, this will not stand.
It was RFA President and CEO Bob Dineen.
Support for today's broadcast comes from ADM. Their FarmerView mobile site features up-to-date futures, weather, market commentary, and local bids, and offers ADM customers access to contracts, deliveries, and payments. Available at adm.com/farmerview.
Now up next, one ag economist says that even though this year's corn crop is record large, demand for that corn is pretty good. Iowa State University Extension ag economist Chad Hart says a crop that is just shy of 14 billion bushels will find strong demand from the livestock, ethanol, and export sectors. For ethanol, USDA raised its estimate of corn used for ethanol by about 200 million bushels. Hart says USDA's estimate of 4.9 billion bushels, well, he thinks that one's about right.
Not quite as high as it was a couple of years ago, but again, another couple of hundred billion bushel increase compared to last year. And arguably, we're already seeing that now. We've seen the ethanol industry pipe back up here over the past 6 weeks to ramp up production. And so things look like they're stabilizing for the ethanol industry. I think that 4.9 number is a pretty good one.
Hart says if there is a bullish argument for corn, it is the potential for strong exports.
If I'm looking for a bullish argument here, it is exports. And when you look there, we've already seen some tremendous response there. Basically, in 2012, the corn market export got cut in half. We've seen it rebound. USDA's putting it back at 1.4 billion bushels. I think we could get up around 1.6 because given the pace we've seen thus far, we've got some customers out there for our corn.
And for those customers, Hart says there's one country in particular that will create demand for U.S. corn.
One country in particular, and of course that country's China. When you look, China does not like to buy corn. They like to be self-sufficient. But this year, even with a record corn crop domestically in that country, they're still importing a lot of corn from us. In fact, during the government shutdown, they were our biggest buyer of corn.
All of that said, there's one major area where Hart disagrees with USDA's most recent supply and demand summary. That's price. Now, Hart thinks USDA's estimated farm gate price for corn at $4.50 a bushel, well, it's just too high. He thinks corn will more likely average about $4 a bushel. Our thanks go to NAFB member and farm broadcaster Dan Skelton of KICD in Spencer, Iowa, for our story today.
Support comes from Country Financial. Country Financial is hosting farm information sessions throughout Illinois from December to March. Topics include updates to the federal crop insurance program, the farm bill, and how to use grain marketing and crop insurance together to manage risk. Registration information is on their crop update website at countrycrop.com/update.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on a Monday afternoon. Time to check the cash grain market. Greg Johnson is on the phone line from the Andersons from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Greg.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Is it quiet there at the elevator today?
Very quiet today. Very quiet today. A few beans moved on the rally, but very little corn and very few beans for that matter.
Is this the time of the year that you guys start to do some of the paperwork and get things caught up?
Yes. Yes. We're starting to get what we call farm designated reports for the crop insurance people. People are trying to prove their yields and see if they have a claim. Most of the yields are pretty average, but with the price drop, there still could be some crop insurance claims out there.
And I suppose you're also ramping up because I believe you do have some crop insurance products at the Andersons, too. So you're ramping up kind of learning about those and what producers might look at?
Yes. The February crop average is the standard policy, but there are some private products out there that allow producers to lock in the higher of the November, December, Jan, Feb, or March monthly average. And so rather than just hoping that the market doesn't go down between now and February, there are some ways to lock in these higher prices just in case the market does go down.
And would you do they do that? Do they have to choose a month ahead of time, or do they get a choice after the fact?
After the fact.
Even better.
You can't go wrong. You just see what the highest of the 5 months was, and that's the one you get.
And that's a product that comes through the Andersons. I think some other places may offer some things that are similar to it, right?
Correct. Anyone that offers the NAU, I mean, we clear through NAU and Great American and a couple others, but NAU NAU is the one that offers that that product.
And do you have many people that try to use it?
Yes. It came out last year for the first time, very, very popular, because instead of taking the 565 December average in February, people that signed up for the MPD, they call it multiple price discovery product, got 615, 50 cents higher, which was the average price of corn in December last year.
And did it pay off in terms of the economics?
Yes, yes. It only cost about $2 an acre last year, and, you know, at 50 cents a bushel higher, it more than paid off. So.
Yeah, I'm doing that number in my head.
Yeah.
I guess that did pay off.
Yeah. So, and this year it may be the beans. You know, if South America plants all these extra acres, and if they have a good crop, and those are two big ifs, the February bean price could be a lot lower than what it is here in November and December. And on the other hand, if they have a drought down there, then the March price could be a lot higher than the February price. So either way, as long as there's some volatility, you know, usually these products, you know, these insurance products would pay off if there's some kind of volatility in the market.
Yeah, so how quickly do you have to make that kind of decision? Do you make it in the month of December, or when does it happen?
Well, the five-month multiple price discovery program had to be signed up for by November 15th, but there's a four-month program, and that one has to be signed up by December 15th, so there's still another 3 weeks to get that one signed up.
Do they have a 3 month and a 2 month too?
No, I don't. Well, they don't yet, but these are private products, so maybe they'll come out with that. As far as I know, there's just the 5 month and the 4 month.
Oh, split them up. Make sure you get everybody in. Okay. Hey, how much grain do you have in the bin or on the ground in total now for corn?
Well, we had 2 million bushels on the ground at the peak. And we started picking up our pile last week, and we're picking up about 100,000 a day. So it'll take us about 20 days to get it all picked up. So last week, this week, and next week, and hopefully after that, you can come by here and not see any corn on the ground.
Yeah, that would be good news. And then how many times do you think at this point are you thinking that you'll turn over storage?
Probably just once. So we've got room for 12 million, and so we'll move that 12 million out and hopefully take another 12 million in, and that probably will be it, although I could be surprised. There's a lot of corn that went into the bin, so maybe there's more out there than what I think.
That would be an interesting to see. If you only turn it over once, that would be so. Don't you aim for about 2.3 or 2.4 a year?
Soon? Normally we do, but this year there was a lot of corn. Like Decatur was empty. The pipeline was completely empty going in, so I think a lot of the early bushels have already moved through the pipeline. Mm-hmm. So we probably won't get a chance to get those.
Okay, so I know there's a big crop out there, but does that tell you about anything about the cash movement later on and the ability for end users to find crop? Because it sounds like to me they'll be hunting for it at some point.
You would think that with this big crop, you know, and that's what everybody thought, you know, basis levels would be weak and spreads would be wide, and just the opposite. The farmers have not cooperated. Those stubborn farmers are just not selling corn. They don't like the price, and by golly, they're not going to sell it yet. And now maybe they'll have to in January when the bills come due, but so far they're doing a very good job of holding on. And so basis levels have really, really improved all the way through harvest. You know, we're five under December futures today, and that's very, very tight. And there's only a couple cents carry out to the January bid. So, and the D's March corn spread is into like 6.5, 6 cents. I mean, so, you know, you wouldn't think that would be that narrow, and the basis would be that good with such a big crop. But like I say, it's a big crop that's not moving yet.
Hey, thanks so much. What are your bids for the day?
Cash corn is 420. January also 420. There's that no carry. New crop corn is 434. Cash beans are $13.29, same price for January, and next fall is $11.36.
Thanks.
Thanks, Todd.
Mm-hmm. Greg Johnson is with the Andersons, joins us here on the closing market report for a Monday afternoon. I'll be back in 2 minutes with the weather forecast.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
On this day in agricultural history in 1715, Thomas Masters became the first American granted an English patent. It was actually for an invention discovered by Masters' wife for cleaning and curing Indian corn growing in several colonies in America. By the way, the first patent issued within the colonies occurred in 1641 for a new method of extracting salt. In 1837, the first U.S. patent was issued for a silk figure power loom. In 1846, Carrie Amelia Nation was born. A well-known temperance movement activist, she was famous for destroying saloons with a hatchet. And in 1884, the first U.S. patent for the process of evaporated milk was issued to John Meyenberg, a Swiss immigrant living in St. Louis. The process began by heating the milk with external hot steam while stirring, followed by cooling, straining, and condensing. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated, headquartered in Lafayette, Indiana, with branches in Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois, providing independent commodity, financial, and currency analysis to its clients and newsletter subscribers. On the web at myrmconline.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Monday afternoon. Here's the weather forecast as it was left by Drew Lerner for us earlier in the day.
Weather conditions across the Midwest will be just about perfect this week for any late season farming activity because there will not be any real meaningful precipitation in the heart of the region. We are expecting some lake effect snows to occur across the region just downwind from Lake Michigan and Lake Erie, but we don't expect to see much in the way of significant precipitation in other areas. With that said, I do want to make sure we all understand that there will be a storm system that is currently in the southern plains that will move across the lower Mississippi River Basin and the Tennessee River Basin en route to the middle and northern Atlantic coastal states during the middle part of this week. That is going to become a nor'easter. We'll likely see a lot of heavy rain from the southeastern United States into the coastal region of the northeast, with the most significant snows occurring well inland, probably from the central and northern parts of the Appalachian Mountain region up into portions of interior Quebec. Now, most of that snow is not expected to be extremely heavy, except for in the mountainous areas, maybe Pennsylvania and parts of New York. But all of the snow will be well west of the coastal region and shouldn't be a huge factor for much travel across the region for the holidays. Now, certainly heavy rain will still delay some of the air travel across some of that region. In the meantime, there's not much precipitation in the heart of the Midwest, as I mentioned before. There will be a few spits and spats on the periphery of the storm system that will come out of the lower Mississippi River Basin and into the middle and northern Atlantic coastal region. So some areas in parts of southern Missouri, western Kentucky, along the Ohio River into southern and eastern Ohio, we'll see a little bit of precipitation as this little nor'easter gets going. Then some light snowfall will occur in some of that region in Ohio and certainly western Pennsylvania down into parts of Kentucky, and just some rain or some drizzle expected further to the southwest. Well, the temperatures across the Midwest will certainly be chilly over the next few days. There's certainly no reason for us to expect a huge warm-up for any time real soon. High temperatures today will be mostly in the 30s. We'll see a few upper 20s in the northwest. We'll see a couple of lower 40s possible in the southeast, especially Kentucky. But we're not going to see anything any warmer than that. Tomorrow, we'll see a new surge of cold air coming in across the upper Midwest, and teens and 20s will occur for highs in the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, and parts of Nebraska. That cold air will overrun the rest of the Midwest right behind that nor'easter, and we'll likely see the high temperatures on Wednesday afternoon in the 20s and 30s. Probably see that still occurring one more day on Thursday, although it looks like maybe we'll see some warmer air in parts of Kansas, Missouri, and Kentucky on Thursday afternoon. As we go on into the latter part of the week and into the weekend, temperatures will finally become a little bit more reasonable. We'll look for highs in the 30s and 40s north and some 50s in the south. Low temperatures at night over the next several nights will end up moving lower. We'll likely see readings tomorrow. tomorrow morning, mostly teens and 20s across the region. We'll see a negative and positive single-digit readings occurring on Wednesday morning in the northwestern Corn Belt, and we'll likely see teens and 20s occurring in most other areas that morning, as well as Thursday and possibly Friday as well. It will rebound with those temperatures coming back into the 20s and 30s as we get into the weekend coming up.
Meteorologist Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. That wraps it up. I hope you have a great holiday week. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.